Please open your Bibles to John chapter 20. This morning we'll be studying scriptures that teach us of Thomas and Jesus. Thomas and Jesus. We normally think of Thomas and use the word doubting whenever we say his name. And if you've wondered why people are called doubting Thomases, then perhaps you'll find out this morning as we study the Word of God. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Following the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the disciples assembled themselves in the evening. They were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jews. Jesus appeared to these disciples and he comforted them by saying, "Peace be unto you." And by that statement, Jesus meant, "Do not worry, trust me, trust your Father. Do not be filled with anxiety. Do not be filled with frustration, but accept what has happened and accept what I say. And let the peace of God come upon you. Let the peace of God comfort you. Let the peace of God flood your heart and flood your soul." And as Jesus made this statement, the Bible tells us that he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. And when they saw his hands, and when they saw his side that had been pierced by the spear, the Bible tells us that they were glad. That is, they rejoiced. They made audible sounds among themselves that they were happy. And they offered praise to God because they had begun to see that the promises that Jesus had made to them and the statements that he had made to them concerning his resurrection had literally come to pass. After they had rejoiced at seeing the hands and the side of Jesus, and after they had accepted in their hearts and minds that he had indeed been raised from the dead, the Bible tells us that Jesus commissioned them. Very famous statement, one we hear a great deal today, and that is, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Their work was to be a spiritual work, but there was one disciple who was not present, and his name was Thomas. He was not there when they assembled that evening after the resurrection morning, when Mary Magdalene and others had gone to the tomb and had seen that it was empty, and Jesus had told Mary to tell the other disciples. For some reason, unknown to us, Thomas did not assemble with them. And as we read then of Thomas and Jesus as they exchanged words, not hostile, but as they exchanged ideas and as they thought of what had occurred, we can see the power of unbelief. How often do we hear people talk about the power of faith and the power of believing? And it has become a mantra that we use from time to time in many circumstances. Have faith. Believe. If you can believe it, you can do it. It has crept over into the secular world and is often referred to in the sentence or phrase, "the power of positive thinking." It is a part of our selling. It is a part of our teaching. And I know the Bible tells us that there is power in faith. There is power in believing. And there's also great power in unbelief. For all the things that believing can accomplish, unbelieving can destroy. You say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Well, if you fall into disbelief, if you have truly believed in Christ, your salvation will not be taken from you, but the peace of God will be taken from you. And you can destroy much by infidelity and unbelief. And I think that's affected our churches and our families and our nation. So many people have believed, and yet now they're in unbelief. And by that I mean they have trusted, but now they're not trusting. That at one time they leaned upon the Lord and trusted in Him, but now they lean upon the flesh and trust in what they can accomplish through the energy of the flesh. It wasn't that Thomas had not been taught. We might excuse him if Jesus had excluded him from teaching, if he had not accepted him and taught him as he did everyone else, but we know that he told all of the apostles, and that he told all of his disciples that he would go to Jerusalem and be condemned. And he told them that he would be killed. And he told them that he would be raised from the dead. This is found in John 16:21 and Mark 9:9-10. They were taught. They were told. But this seemed to be so incredible that this man whom they had believed in and whom they trusted in to be the very Son of God, to now see him put to death is a tragedy they cannot comprehend. It's a tragedy they cannot accept. The Bible tells us that Thomas did not assemble with the others. In verse 24, the scripture tells us that Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. The 10 and others had proclaimed his appearing, and Thomas set his foundation for believing what they said upon these things. In other words, Thomas said, I will not believe unless. Don't make that mistake. Don't say, God, I will believe if you will, and if you do not, I will never believe, quote, trust you again. Don't tempt God. Don't bind God by your ignorance. And that's really what Thomas bound his Lord with, was his ignorance. Because Thomas is so disappointed. Thomas is so distraught. He is so upset that he's become disconnected. And because of his disconnection, he lays down a proposition to those who have said, we have seen the Lord, I will not believe unless. I will not believe except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails. The word print here is the word we get typewriter from. It means to make an impression, to leave an identifying mark. So Thomas is saying to the other apostles, I will not believe until I literally see the literal prints that the nails made when they were driven through his hands. And put my finger into the print of the nails. That's the second thing. I only must see them. But if there is some illusion, if there's some thing that I do not comprehend simply by seeing, I know seeing is believing, but this is not good enough for me. I have to put my finger into the print of the nails. This is quite a demand, isn't it? This man has really thought this through to a point that he's almost made an impossible circumstance for himself. If I can literally take my finger and press it through the hole that the nail made, I still won't believe. If I see the print of the nail, that's not enough. If I put my finger through the hole that the nail made, that's not enough. He said one other part to his condition before God. And thrust my hand into his side. The word thrust comes from the word that means to throw or to cast. And as we look at that statement, we understand that he is saying, as he makes that statement, that I will not believe unless I am literally able to cast or throw my hand into his side that was made by the spear. He said, if I do not do this, I will not believe. I will not be persuaded. I will not put my trust in this information. Thomas had trusted Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He believed what Jesus taught. The death of Christ caused Thomas to say he could never trust him again unless. How many times has our belief in someone or something been destroyed, and we have laid down conditions? I will never trust my father again. I'll never trust my mother again. I'll never trust my husband again. I'll never trust my wife again. I'll never trust my children again unless. I will not believe until. And this is what Thomas had done in regard to Jesus Christ. He is literally saying, I trusted him to be the Messiah, the Son of God. I trusted him to be the King of Israel. I trusted him to establish a kingdom here on earth. I believed in him. And I persuaded others to believe in him. But he was arrested. And he didn't say anything, and he didn't do anything, and he didn't fight back. He was as a lamb before his shearers. And I saw him crucified. And I saw him taken down from a cross. And he was put in a tomb. I'm never going to be hurt that way again. I'm never going to be built up that high so that I will be crushed by disappointment. How many times do we hear people say that about a church or about a preacher or about a mother or father or dad or whatever? Well, I used to believe, but you don't know how badly I was hurt. I used to believe, but you just have no comprehension of how disappointed I was. I think everybody who's ever been around a church very long can say that. Because we're human, we're in the flesh. We disappoint one another. But I can tell you, we can never truthfully say that about Jesus Christ. We can never truthfully say that about Almighty God. I don't doubt but what each of us could name names right now of people who've been vitally connected to this church, who've had serious moral problems that hurt badly. And maybe some have been disappointed in us and have dropped out of service, walked away from the church and said, I'll never go back unless. And that was Thomas's attitude. And it's very powerful. As strengthening as faith is, not having faith is destructive. It's equal in its power. Whatever having faith will do to us, whatever trusting God will do to us, then refusing to trust God has great power and great destructive power. In these scriptures, there is the restoration of trust. For the Bible tells us that on the second Sunday, the next Sunday, that the Lord appeared again to the disciples. In verse 26, the scripture states, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. He issues the same assurance. He states exactly the same reason that they ought not to be filled with the frustration, the anxiety that they're all feeling. During the week, it has risen again, obviously. And Jesus says, peace be unto you. And then he addressed Thomas specifically. Verse 27 tells us that he then saith to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And there's action contained in this statement of Jesus. He actually moves his hand and he says, bear your hand this way. Bring your hand and put it into my side. And Jesus gestured, no doubt indicating with his finger, do this, Thomas. It wasn't just a verbal invitation. There was a gesture of invitation. Thomas, take your hand and do this. And whether Jesus touched his side or not, or whether Jesus touched his hand or not, the scriptures don't indicate, but there was that action upon his part. Bear your hand this way, in this manner, and see. Now notice, and see my hand. That's what the Bible says. How do you see with your hand? As blind people do in reading Braille, they see with their hands. And this is what Jesus invited Thomas to do. Thomas, see with your hand. And be not faithless. In other words, touch my hand with your finger and be confident and filled with trust. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Bring your hand is literally what Jesus is saying. Bring your hand and put it into the side of me. He's not simply saying you can touch me, but he is actually saying to him, take your finger and explore the wounds in my hand, and then close your hand in this fashion. And we understand it was a large wound that was made in his side, and he is actually saying to Thomas, explore with your hand the wound that was made in my side. This is no timid invitation. This is no clinical surface exploration. It's not just touch now. It's not just you can feel with your hand. Jesus is bold and he is actually demonstrating, take your hand and put it in these prints and see how? By feeling. Now take your hand and thrust. Cast it into my side. Don't be timid, Thomas. Don't come and very, very easily try to work your hand into this wound, but throw it into my side. Thrust it into my side. Why? Well, Jesus told him, and be not faithless. If this what it takes, Thomas, for you to have faith, do it. And be not faithless. Let's end this problem that you have. Let's set aside this doubt in your mind. Let's lay it aside and lay it aside forever. Don't be faithless, but believing or trusting. Do not be distrustful, but be trustful and trust me. Thomas made a response, and the response was this: the Lord of me and the God of me. Jesus had taught him that he was God. Jesus had taught him that he was the anointed. And now Thomas responds by saying, you are the Lord of me. You are the God of me. It didn't take long for his faithlessness to melt away and for his faith to increase. And then Jesus rebuked Thomas, and he said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. That's good. But there's something better. And the better of all things is this: blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Happy are those who have never seen me and yet have believed. And that's me and you. We have believed. We have not seen Jesus Christ. We have not seen God. We have read the Bible, and upon the basis of what the Bible reveals to us, we have believed in Jesus Christ, and our confidence is greater than Thomas, who put his finger into the nail prints, who put his hand into his side. Our joy, our confidence, our assurance is greater than his, because our faith is predicated upon the revealed Word of God and not upon the sight of a human being. The purest faith is the faith that rests solely on the Word of God. No signs, no miracles, no wet fleece, no dry fleece. The more our faith is based on the Bible only, the happier we are. Why? Well, the Bible never changes. And you can open it and read it anytime you choose. Never say, God, if you love me, do this or do that, because it will be a demonstration of your not trusting God. Don't say, God, if you love me, let me get this job. God, if you love me, let me attain this or attain that. Let me get this or get that. Or God, if you really love me, take this away or take that away. Never, never tempt God and show your lack of trust in him. Take whatever comes and trust God and you'll be happy. But if you take whatever comes and you do not trust God, you will not be happy. If the above statement is true, then why were there miracles? There were many miracles left unrecorded in the Word of God. And here's what John said. And many other signs, that is, flags that declare. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, and guess what? They have become a part of the book upon which we rest and take our information and derive our peace with God. So now they are written in this book, but these are written that you might believe, that is, trust in Jesus, that he is the Christ, that is, the Anointed One, and that he is the very Son of God, and that believing, accepting, or trusting, you might have life through or by the authority of his name. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? You say, oh yes, many years ago I trusted in him, or yes, some few years I trusted in him. Are you trusting him not only for salvation, but are you trusting him as your Lord and as your God?